There's a God
alive.
He is alive.
In Him we live.
Survive.
From dust our God
created man.
He is our God. The great I am.
The great I am.
Amen.
I'd like to thank Brother Paul for those songs that he's brought to us this morning. And we'd like to say good morning to everyone. If you're a visitor here at the Stony Island Church of Christ, we certainly would like to consider you our honored guest. If there is something that we say this morning that you believe is contrary to the Word of God, we would consider you our friend to point it out to us in a timely fashion so we can make that correction before you leave this building. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank the elders and the others that have supported us since we've been here. We've been here for a few months, and people have just welcomed us with open arms, and we just want you to know that we really appreciate the warmness that we have gotten from the people here at Stony Island. I also would like to take time to point out to these young brothers here. Brother Miles has a young man there. My son is a young man. Where's William at? And we need to commend these young men and encourage, Dave, if I didn't forget you, we want to commend these young men and encourage them. Because they are the church of tomorrow, and we need to encourage them and push them up front and give them everything they need, because they're the ones that's probably going to be pushing you around in a wheelchair one day. And so you want to make sure you encourage them. I went into the insurance business in 1971, and when I went into this particular business, they sent me to all kind of classes, Napoleon Hill, they sent me a Dress for Success. They sent me to all of these things, which I certainly needed at that particular point in my life at 24. And one of the books that really stuck out for me was Dressing for Success. And in this book, they said you can tell a perception of a person by the way that they dress and the way that they behave. Our lesson this morning is talking about the whole armor of God. And we're going to be talking about that whole armor or that dress that we as Christians should have as we go through our daily walks. In this book, it says that dress communicates something about our character and how others will perceive us based upon how we're dressed. As we go through this whole armor that's being talked about here in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verses 10 through 17, it's going to be talking about the way that we as Christians should dress. And we're going to be talking about that this morning. In the year 1969... I represented a United States All-Star team, and we went over to Czechoslovakia for a whole month, and we went to about 15 cities, and there was one city that we went to in particular called Košice, and I was very disturbed about Košice because every city that we went to, you had to go to the industry that was in that city, and the coach told us that if we didn't respect that, we could insult this country, and we could have a national incident, is what he communicated to us at the age of age 22. We went over and we went into a mine, and they had mines in Košice. And the mines went just like this, zigzag down for a mile. And these people wanted to show us right where they put the pick in and put the 2x4s. And so we were very scared, so we had to put on a uniform, and they had us put a hat. My coach has a picture before he passed. He had a big picture of us lined up for this picture to go into the coal mine. And we had these little helmets with lights on it. We had this garb, this uniform on, and we had these boots and all these things, and we went all the way down to the bottom. My point in this is that we had to have this uniform in order to go into this mine. We couldn't just go in with nothing on. We had to be fully clothed in the proper garb so that we might be safe as we went there. In our passage of Scripture that was read into your hearing, Paul compares the armor of a Roman soldier to that of a Christian soldier. And we're going to go through each one of those particular garments in just a moment. One of the things that was required of a Roman soldier is they had to exercise every day. And they had to exercise with all of this artillery on them. And the reason for that is so when they went into battle, that this armor that they had on wouldn't hold them back or hold them down. And so they had to do this particular discipline every day of the week, even when they were not in battle. Then many of the soldiers began to complain how heavy the armor was, and they stopped carrying the armor that helped them to become victorious over the whole known world at this particular time. Many historians believe that this was part of the reason that the Roman Empire fell, because they began to not fully dress to fight the battles that were coming about. We as Christians today have to be fully dressed in order to fight for the Lord. And we must not tire of displaying this whole armor that we're going to be talking about here shortly. We must exercise our minds in the knowledge of God's word so that we may be armed with the gospel. This is the only weapon that we can use against the wiles or the schemes that the devil has set for us in the world today. And if you go to the 10th verse, it says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might." These were the final instructions for arming us as Christians. And we have to be ready to oppose Satan, because Satan is going to be setting traps for us to fall into. And if we're not properly equipped or properly dressed, we won't be able to slow him down. In verse 11, it says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil or the schemes of the devil." The armor of God. The Christian does not oppose evil with his own strength, but we oppose this evil through the Lord and through his word. Only the armor of God is sufficient for us to battle, for us as Christians to battle, so that we might face those things that come about in the world today. Satan uses many things as far as trapping us today. He uses drugs, he uses sex, he uses jealousy, he uses drunkenness, he uses envy, he uses strife, he uses hatred. He uses whatever weaknesses we may have in our character to draw us in. So we have to constantly make sure that we have this whole armor on ourselves. In 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter and the 3rd verse, it talks about this craftiness that the devil has. He may even disguise himself as an angel of light, it talks about there in the 14th verse, 2 Corinthians 11. In verse 12, back in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, it says, "For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of his darkness, and against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." We've already know that the devil is this individual that we have to be prepared to fight against. Furthermore, evil is well organized, and this organizer of this evil is, of course, the devil. I want you to look at, to prove this point. You know, a lot of times when things happen in the world, turn over to Job, if you will. It's right before Psalms, I think. And many people, I've heard people say, when somebody gets hit by a car or some baby dies, they have a tendency to blame it on God. And we have to be careful. I want to show you where this evil really comes from. Let's turn over to Job, if you will. I want to look at that first chapter in Job. And it's right before Psalms. And if you go there, let's start in the 6th verse there. And it says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, 'From where do you come?' So Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro from the earth, and from walking back and forth on it.' Then the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job? And there is none like him on the earth, a blameless, upright man who fears God and shuns evil.' So Satan answered the Lord and said, Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you made a hedge around him and his household, around all that he has, every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face.' And the Lord said to Satan, 'Behold, all that he has is in your power, only do not lay a hand on his person.' So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord." And my point here is, as if you go through and study the book of Job, Job had his full armor on the whole time. His wife deserted him. His three friends told him he must have had some sin in his life that he hadn't corrected. And he went through, and if you go through to the 42nd chapter, he stood firm all the way through this test that he went through in the book of Job. And you'll see there in the 42nd chapter of Job where God restores him because he stood firm in his full armor. And we too must stand firm against the prince of the world, which is Satan himself. Jesus refers to him as that in John 12 and 31 and 14 and 30 and 16 and 11. The power of Satan is limited to them who yield themselves to do evil. And in no sense does Satan share any authority with God. God allowed Satan to tempt Job. This is what the whole passage is talking about here. And over in 1 Corinthians 10:13, if you turn over there, you'll find out that anytime we run into a temptation, God always will allow us a way of escape if we would choose to go in that particular passage. In the 13th verse, if you go back to Ephesians, the 6th chapter, it says, "Wherefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, having done all to stand." The functional word here in this passage is that we have to stand for the truth and not fall or fail or yield. We have to stand. The nature of the Christian warfare is our ability to stand up for the truth and not waver. It is not so much an attack against evil as it is for us to ward off and foil those attacks that the devil will make towards us. The forces of evil on earth have been mightily defended and wounded by a Christian's ability to stand for the truth rather than wavering. In verses 14 through 17, we want to go through each one of these particular things that Paul talks about that these Roman soldiers has. And he makes an attempt to compare those to how we should be. He says, "Stand therefore," again he's emphasizing the word stand, "having girded your loins with the truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, withal taking up the shield of faith, whereas ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." The girdle of truth, if you'll know, the Roman soldier had a girdle that he put around him, and that held all of the other things in place. And we as Christians, in order to hold everything in place, have to be able to know the gospel. It is the center of our armor, having the ability to know the truth. In John 17 and 17, it tells us to sanctify them by the truth. Your word is the truth. So this girdle, if you will, or girding up one's lines, is we have to know the truth. One of the biggest things that I believe that we need in the church today is for people to become more grounded in the Word of God so that they might be able to go out and defend it. And oftentimes, we don't know the gospel well enough to stand up and be girded with the truth. The next thing, it talks about the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of the Roman soldier had chain links. And what it was designed in such a fashion that it would guard those vital organs if an arrow or a sword would come in contact with him. And remember that our words are no defense against accusations, but living a righteous life is. In other words, by us having this breastplate of righteousness or living correctly in front of people, any charges that might be brought will be defended because they know our way of life. When we walk in the righteousness of God, it is the weapon of defense against any accusations that the world can make about us, especially those that the devil will scheme against us. The next thing that it talks in that passage of Scripture talks about your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The sandals of the Roman soldiers consisted of thick soles, and they had spikes on the bottom of them. And you could move comfortably going forward, but it was very difficult to walk backwards. And if a soldier became a coward and wanted to turn around and run, there was no protection at all from him in the rear. So Paul is using that as an example, that the soldier had no armor on his back, so if he decided to run from the enemy, he would have to discard his honor and also his protection. We must always have our feet firmly on the Word of God, unmoved by the devil's threats or lies. It will keep our spiritual foes where they belong, and that is under our feet. The next thing he talks about is the shield of faith. A Roman soldier's shield was 4 feet by 2, and it was about a half a foot wide. And if an arrow struck the soldier, his breastplate would stop it from piercing him, and the shield would protect him as well. The value of our faith lies not in just using our ability to have faith, but we also have to stand firm in it every day. In Romans 10 and 17, it tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the Word of God is what we have to make sure that our faith is solid in. Knowing the Bible and God, the God of the Bible, will give us greater faith, remember, when God fights for us, this is the greatest protection that we can have, and that is His word when those situations arise. The helmet of salvation. The Roman soldier's helmet was made out of leather, reinforced with bronze. The head needed great protection due to the possibility of a head wound. The Christian is to take and receive his salvation from God. And of course, in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, we know that this is the gift of God. And we must continue to wear that helmet of salvation in order that this devil will not be able to snatch us out of Jesus' hands. The greatest attack Satan will have on us is our minds. You might have noticed that Jesus updated the commandments, and he says, if you look upon a woman, you've committed adultery in your heart. So again, the thing that he was seeing is that most sin occurs in our mind before it becomes an action. And under the old law, it was only if you did the action was it against breaking the law. But Jesus upgraded it in that particular sense. So we have to constantly make sure that we dwell our thoughts on things that are pure. The sword of the Spirit, it talks about. This is the only offensive weapon that we as Christians have. And if you look in Hebrews 4 and 12, and it says that we as Christians can't get rusty. The word of God is sharper than a double-edged sword, and we have to constantly make sure that we know the word of God. We're coming off on a couple of weeks. We're going to be going into some projects where we're going to be going into the neighborhood, and we're going to need as many people as possible to help us go. And this is a project that we've gotten together. This is not Brother Stewart's project, but it's a project that we're going to be going through the neighborhoods. And if you have time available, two Saturdays from yesterday, we're going to be getting together here from 10 to 12. We're going to go out knocking on doors. And if you have time available, we certainly would hope that you would come. The word is the sword of the Spirit. When Jesus was tempted in Matthew, the 4th chapter, every time Satan came back with him, he came back with the word of God. He never used force or intimidation to get people to do things. In conclusion, I wanted to go over this, and more or less we can study our Bibles. I think the biggest key for most of us is to know the word well or not. A lot of people that I talk to that we did evangelism in the past, is their greatest fear that they would run into a situation where someone wouldn't know what scripture to go to. And I can assure you that we have much more knowledge than anybody that we're going to come in contact with. And if we do run into one of those questions, there's nothing wrong with telling people that if you give me 24 hours, I'll get back with you with the correct answer. So if you're available, we would like you to be here, because what we're trying to do is go out and reach into the community and spread the gospel to those individuals, which is a commitment that we have. Our lesson this morning, in conclusion, is that we as Christians need to put on this girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. We need to shod our feet with the gospel of peace. We need to make sure that we carry the shield of faith. And we also need to make sure that we have the helmet of salvation. And, of course, the sword of the Spirit is that we have to know the word of God in order to put on this full armor of God that's being talked about here. With this armor we've been talking about this morning, we'll be able to resist and stand firm against anything that Satan may throw at us. But without this armor, we're going to be susceptible to any of the schemes that the devil will have against us. But we have to keep in mind that the choice to put on the whole armor of God is up to us. And in order to do that, we certainly have to study the word of God. We should wear this armor when we go to work. We should wear this armor when we're driving in our cars. We should wear this armor when we come to worship service. When we're driving down the highways, we should have this whole armor of God. People should know by this armor that we are Christians. And if we'll go back to Ephesians, the 6th chapter, for just a moment, if you'll look at the 9 verses before we get to the 10th through the 17th, he started out talking about children, obey your parents in the Lord. And it goes on to talk about how men shouldn't provoke their children. And when it gets to the 10th verse, he talks about this armor in order for people to do that. So we want to make sure that we carry this whole armor of Christ and we wear it and do things in such a fashion that is pleasing and acceptable to God. If you're in the audience this morning and you're not a Christian, there are steps that we need to take in order to become a child of God. The first thing we must do is we must hear the word of God, as Paul talks about in Romans the 10th chapter in the 17th verse. Then it talks about you have to believe those things that you've heard over in Hebrews 11 and 6. And then the next thing that we have
we need to do is we need to repent of our sins, as Jesus talks about in Luke 13:3. And then the next thing we have to do is confess Jesus as Lord in Matthew, the 10th chapter, verses 32 and 33. And then, of course, in Acts 2:38, Peter, on the day of Pentecost, talks about you need to be baptized. If you're subject to the invitation in any way, please come while together we stand and sing the song, Brother Paul and Selector.
Kneel at the cross. Christ will meet you there.